Are you someone who loves Christmas? To the point that you really hate to take the decorations down, even if it is January 15th? If you answer yes, you are a Noelophile. And so am I. And this show is for you. Hi, I'm Dot Cannon, also known as Noella Noelophile. And welcome to my Noelophile podcast. On this show, we're going to be talking about Christmas in general and California Christmas in particular.
These earrings, this is called the Flitta collection, and Flitta in Swedish, I think it is, means movement. And that's basically what these do. It's more the simplicity and the clean lines that I really appreciate about Scandinavian design.
Artist Linnea Oliver pays tribute to her Scandinavian heritage as she handcrafts striking jewelry for both women and men. In 2012, Linnea established her Northern California-based small business, Bird of Virtue. And ever since, she's been creating earrings, tie bars, necklaces, and much more, inspired by Nordic patterns, as well as mid-century design, and the shapes and colors she sees in everyday life. Her designs are made with acrylics and American hardwoods, and have an elegant simplicity combined with a fun modern vibe. Linnea, what do you remember very best about your growing up years that helped you become the artist that you are today?
Oh, gosh. I think it's probably my mom. I mean, she was a crafter. She was a professional crafter. And so when I was a kid, I actually would join her at shows. And so, you know, I was like five, I think, when I first started joining her at shows and sitting under the table or something. But she, I don't know, she just like really instilled this creativity in me. And I first started selling things when I was 10 at craft shows. So that's kind of where the journey started. And my grandmother, my whole family is very creative. They were all very crafty. I guess that's the right way to say.
Do you remember your first sale when you were 10?
I do. Yeah. I think back then I was making these make it and bake it things, which are like, you know, it was the 80s. So it was these like metal frames, and then they had plastic beads that you would kind of like melt, and you would do it in your home oven, which now, you know, like frightens me that we did that and then cooked food out of that same oven. But yeah, that was the first thing. And I think it was probably angels sort of things, because it was a holiday show. So angels and wreaths, and then it went on to cross stitch, bookmarks, and then eventually landing on jewelry. But
how did Bird of Virtue come about for you? Would you tell me that story?
Oh, it's a little bit of a long, involved story. But as a kid, actually, my parents would watch this British TV show called Are You Being Served? And I just always thought that the humor was really fun. And so I kind of became somewhat enamored by British accents and British culture. So anyways, but there's a flippant sort of name for a woman called a bird. You could, you know, the guy would be, hey, look at that bird over there or something. I think it's probably a casual word, or at least that's what I think. Hopefully it's not derogatory. But anyway, so when I first started my business in, trying to think back when it was, I think it was 2011. When I first started my business, I was really into, not that I'm not now, but I was really into incorporating different virtues into my life. And I, you know, I was like in my mid 30s at that point, and I don't know, going through one of those self-awareness things. Anyway, so I created this Braille line, which are different, all the different virtues I was trying to incorporate in my life. And so the bird is me, I guess, but it's not really that I'm virtuous, but it's that I'm trying to incorporate these things into my life. So that's where the Bird of Virtue comes from.
And I would encourage people to get a look at these Braille necklaces on your website. You've got
Unity,
you've got balance. Really a neat idea, I thought.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell me the story of going full-time as an artist.
Well, I was working on the peninsula during this, you know, horrible commute or whatever. And I think I had just turned 35. And I think maybe this was about 6 months after I turned 35, but I just really, I don't know, I was not enamored with what I was doing. And I thought, you know, I had been making jewelry my entire life, basically since high school. And I just was at this point where I was like, you know, if I don't just do it, I'm going to regret it later in life. So that's why I did it. And, you know, I mean, to be honest, I work probably a lot more and a lot harder than when I was working at just a regular job, mostly because it's kind of grueling hours when you're self-employed. You are working all the time, it seems like. So, you know, there's that. But I do really enjoy it and I love it. And it seems like it's kind of a tribute to my family history as well, too, just coming from all of those, that line of creative people.
It's interesting to look at the inspiration that you name on your website, your family history, your Nordic architecture. Would you tell me more about these? I don't know very much about Nordic culture.
Oh, well, it's pretty simple. I mean, so I'm Swedish. I'm half Swedish and Danish. And, you know, in Danish culture, they have something called hygge, which I'm probably saying it wrong, but it's spelled H-Y-G-G-E. And it's kind of a concept of simplicity and simple living. And also, I think hygge itself is like kind of like a, I think the term is cozy. So it's more the simplicity and the clean lines that I really appreciate about Scandinavian design. And I think in general, you know, what I'm trying to convey with my designs is something that's interesting, but not so interesting that it's going to distract away from who you are. You know, like my designs are kind of meant to complement you and your personality, not like make their own statement for you. So that's kind of the gist of them.
I'm hearing beautifully simple and simply beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm looking at these gorgeous earrings you're wearing that you crafted. These are some new ones, very minimalist lines. And we better tell you people because you're going to be exhibiting. And you're going to be exhibiting where and what are we going to see?
Yeah, you know, I probably will be doing some fairs in San Francisco. And so these earrings, this is called the Flitta collection. And all my collections are actually based on different, because I don't have children of my own, all my designs are kind of like my babies in a way. So they're all named different Scandinavian names. So these ones are Flitta, and these actually, Flitta in Swedish, I think it is, means movement. And that's basically what these do. But I just designed some simpler necklaces, like what I'm wearing, to kind of correspond with them. And I use a lot of these circles and metal loops in my jewelry designs, even in like the acrylic designs. So I'm kind of excited about that because the necklaces are a little more minimal, and I think they kind of can transition with like a bold, bright earring or something like that a little bit better. Sometimes people like to match, which is totally fine. It's from my aesthetic. It's a little, I usually prefer to have one blingy type of thing. And then the other thing I'm going to be launching more of are some home goods items. They are probably going to be tabletop items. I haven't actually decided on all of them yet, but some of them, they'll be like kitchen accessories for the most part and dining accessories. So I'm excited about that too. So
I saw some very nice looking coasters on your website that you have right now.
Wolf Felt. That's kind of the first iteration. I found this really beautiful design felt. So it's like, it's probably about a quarter of an inch thick, maybe a little bit more than that. And 100% German wool and merino wool. And it's just a really pretty nice compliment. I mean, it's a simple sort of thing, but I think we've been in construction in our home. And now that we're like getting a little bit out of construction, I'm excited to design some things for our house. And yeah, just kind of play. So
any preview of anything that you would really like to showcase besides those gorgeous coasters and your beautiful jewelry?
Not yet, because actually it's in the design works. And I am kind of, I'm a little bit notoriously slow about my designs because I'm a perfectionist. So I'm trying to, I should make that a virtue, like trying not to be perfect.
When you figure out how to do that, please tell me.
It takes a lot of time.
I'm intrigued that you have shapes and patterns that I kind of remember a little bit from being a kid in the 1960s, yet you've made them your own. Why does mid-century speak to you as an artist?
I think probably just, you know, I think it's probably a nod to my childhood as well. My parents had a number of like really lovely Scandinavian design and mid-century pieces, you know, like teak wood and stuff. And I don't know, you know, mid-century is just kind of, it seems like they always kind of aesthetic is kind of bringing wood and natural materials into your home as well. And, you know, when I first started this business, I was only doing wooden material as my main material. And, you know, I've since kind of evolved to using wood and acrylic, but I just like that sort of dichotomy of mixing the materials and the clean lines as well. You know, it's similar in maybe not quite as like minimal as Scandinavian design, but I like the melding of the two. And I also grew up in the Chicago area, and there's a lot of really great mid-century architecture downtown and sculptures like Calder sculptures and all sorts of just really beautiful shapes. And I think it's more, I don't know, to me, mid-century is more about shapes, and that's definitely kind of like where my mindset is. Like, I'm not a busy person. I mean, I'm busy in my brain, but not busy with the way I dress. I'm pretty solid colors or stripes.
And I do kind of see that influence in those earrings. I was talking before, you have Vera earrings, and I'd encourage people to take a look at these gorgeous. They look like rainbows in metal.
Yeah.
Just gorgeous.
Yeah. Those ones are really pretty. I really like those. I mean, they're so simple. And a lot of my jewelry is just really super simple. But I don't know, those Vera ones, they kind of like, to me, they look like a unicorn in a way. Like the clear ones with the gold in them, because they are the frosty ones with the gold in them. They just, I don't know, they just really look pretty against your face. So
that would be fun to wear around Christmas time, especially.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It looks like you're having a lot of fun when I look at the tie bars and the cufflinks for men, especially with that one striped tie bar.
Oh, yeah.
How'd that come to mind for you?
Yeah, those are, you know, I have been making men's jewelry for a while, actually. I feel like I started making it maybe the second year I was doing my business. I would like to actually evolve the men's line a little bit more. I mean, currently it's cufflinks and tie clips, and they're just wood. But I think it'd be kind of fun to do maybe the acrylic or something. Yeah, the striped one is, it takes a long time to do. So I use a laser cutter to do all my work, but that one takes a bit of time with the production of it. And I actually do all of that laser cutting myself as well, too. So there's no really outsourcing. It's all me.
It occurs to me to wonder, especially since you have seasons of your different designs, how, as an artist, do you find the time to play and get ideas and yet have different seasons every year with your designs?
Well, it's hard. I used to do a lot of trade shows, and I think I would say I'm not the best at that. It's an incredible amount of work. You know, like when I was doing trade shows, I kind of felt like I had to change the colors every single season, you know, and it's because my things are so handmade and it takes quite a bit of time. I mean, they're simple, yet it actually takes me quite a bit of time to do them. You know, it's almost impossible for me to change the colors and re-photograph it and, you know, do all of the things. You know, when you're just a one person operation, things can quickly feel overwhelming. So I think I've kind of like since moved away from that, you know, mindset, because stores really want you to have like a new thing every season, you know. So now I'm trying to take a little bit more of a relaxed approach to it and do those colors, you know, change things when I feel like I'm ready to.
That's be reassuring to any other looks and says, whoa, have we got Wonder Woman here or what?
Right. Yeah.
What is an average work day like for you as an artist? Is there such a thing as an average work day?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know how to answer that. As an artist, I have been heavily involved in renovating our home. So I've learned a lot of different things that are not jewelry related, a lot of power tools lately. But typically, I would say, you know, play with the dog for a while and then get on to the studio. So I work actually at a makerspace where they build a lot of robots there. So it's kind of funny because I'm like the lone jewelry designer in a world of like robots roaming around. And But that's where I do my laser cutting, and I enjoy it. And I really enjoy having different people to talk to, because, you know, it's a pretty solitary lifestyle being an artist by yourself, which I don't mind whatsoever. I actually kind of enjoy just being quiet and, you know, working on my jewelry. Yeah. So that's kind of a typical day. Unfortunately, a lot of days, sometimes I'm there super late, like 11 or something working, or sometimes later than that. But I try, lately, I've been kind of trying to not do that quite so much.
It's very hard when you love what you're doing, which is what
yeah.
I'm
yeah. Yeah. Well, and also when you're the only person too.
You gotta know it's all on you.
All right.
What if we wanted to tempt anybody who's going to be Christmas shopping right now? I would certainly point them towards those adorable heart stud earrings, because those would be great Secret Santas, and that gorgeous Art Deco pendant. But what would you point them towards?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, I think the studs are always like really great stocking stuffers, because, you know, the price is accessible and they're cute and they come packaged cutely too. I actually kind of prepackage them in a way. They come in a glassine envelope with a cute washi tape sort of situation. So if you're minimalist and you don't want to have to wrap it yourself, it's already wrapped for you. And I guess it depends on the person. I would say that in general, I would say that I tend to sell more earrings at Christmas time. So maybe I would point people in the direction of earrings. I have a feeling, I don't know, this is just my own summation, but I have a feeling that it's because people are wearing turtlenecks and scarves and stuff, so they don't buy necklaces quite so much. But yeah.
Well, those Pluto earrings would be a gorgeous Christmas present. I'm looking
at those. Thank you.
Frosty and icy and just really festive.
Yeah.
Before we go on, let's be sure and point people to your website and any shameless plug you'd like to do. Where do they find your work?
Sure. Yeah. You can find me at www.birdofvirtue.com. And my Instagram is the same as well. It's at birdofvirtue, just one word. And that's pretty much my main outlets. I'm trying to be better about Instagram, but it's
birdofvirtue.com. And again, you said earlier that you work 80 hours a week. I don't know how in the world you'd be better at something like that when you just don't have enough hands. We've only got two of them.
Right. Yeah.
What do you consider one of your absolute favorite lessons you've learned as an artist since starting birdofvirtue?
Oh, gosh. I think it's probably to go with the flow, because it's definitely a journey. Yeah. And I think also, sorry, this is more than one, but I think also to just be kind of kinder on yourself. And that's something that I need to kind of practice better, remind myself to do. But, you know, creativity, it ebbs and flows quite a bit. And I'd be hard pressed to think that any other creative person is always creative all the time. So, you know, I have a lot of like little sketches that I literally have been doodling on in my brain for like 5 years. And, you know, it, you got to kind of like shuffle them around and, you know, anyway. So I would say go with the flow.
If you could have anything at all happen for you with birdofvirtue for the next 5 years, what would you really want to have happen?
Oh, gosh, that's a hard question. I mean, I've already done like the whole, you know, Anthropology, sold my jewelry a number of years back. And that was really fun. I think to expand really, and not expand my staff or something like that, because I do prefer to just, I feel it's easier for it just to be me, but I think to expand my product line. So I really am interested in like the home goods and expanding into that venue. And I'll still do jewelry too, for sure. But I would like to get into some other types of products as well.
I'd love to see more of those home items.
Thank you.
Linnea, thank you for your time this morning.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You and I have been listening to artist Linnea Oliver, proprietor of Bird of Virtue in Northern California. Get a look at Linnea's handcrafted jewelry and her new line of home accessories on birdofvirtue.com. That's birdofvirtue.com. And that concludes this edition of Noella Vile. Thank you for listening. And may your Christmas season be colorful, vibrant, and filled with a quiet sense of joy.